So last message I share with you in terms of what can we do, in other words, in this type of situation. So I share with you that the first thing that we can do is not to dismay, not to panic. And that was the whole message about what the Word of God says, you know, when it comes to these situations. So today, I want to share with you, and I have titled the sermon, In Times Like This. So let us bow again for prayer so that we could connect with the Word of God at this hour. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day. Lord, we said it's beautiful because at least we have been blessed with life, with health. So, Father, despite this horrible times, Lord, despite this crisis, Father, we know you're still in control. So, Lord, we want to connect with you at this moment. We want to be inspired by the Holy Scripture. We want to learn. We want to discern, Father, what your words tell us. So I ask, Father, that you, in your mighty way, Lord, may give us that wisdom, may give us that understanding. Allow us, Father, at this moment, to clear our minds and connect our hearts, Father, with you. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. The question, my brothers and sisters, is what should our attitude be to all trials? Because when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the Holy Scripture, it's not about one specific thing, because we all have different trials. Even in these times of crisis, my brothers, we do face different trials. Yes, we're all afraid. Yes, we're scared. Yes, we know that we need to do our part. But nonetheless, because of this virus, because of this whole situation, because of these circumstances, my brothers and sisters, we face different challenges. Some face challenges like, what am I going to do to pay rent if I'm not working because of this? Some has been maybe laid off from work. Some might not even have some savings. Some might not even have food. Some might not even have money to even purchase food. So yes, we all face different trials, even in this pandemic. I just want to share with you what the Ministry of Healing, what God's servant Ellen White says when it comes to this. She says, for instance, for every trial, God has some help. When in the wilderness, Israel reached the bitter waters of Marah, Moses cried out to the Lord, who provided no new remedy, but turned the people's attention to what he had at hand in order for the water to become pure and sweet. And shrub that God had created had to be laid into the fountain. Having done this, the people were able to drink and cool off. In all trials, if we turn to him, Christ will give us his help. Our eyes will open to discern the promise of healing and recorded in his word. The Holy Ghost will teach us how to use each blessing as an antidote to sorrow. We will find some branch with which to purify the bitter drinks placed before our lips. Oh yes, my brothers and sisters. We might not have a cure for this virus, but we know the solution. We know specifically what we need to do when it comes to these kind of trials. We know for a fact that as humans, we don't have the power. We don't have the solution as humans. But yet, we know for a fact that the solution comes with the Lord. The solution comes through Jesus Christ. Just like he took care of his people in the past. Just as he took care of the Israelites in the past. My brothers and sisters, God is still the same. Jesus is still our Lord and Savior, and he will continue protecting his people. He will continue, my brothers and sisters, giving us peace. He will bring peace to this storm. So another question is, what must we do to deal with epidemic and diseases? What we must do? See, Ellen White also encouraged us in Temperance, page 141. The simpler and the more naturally we live, the more we will be able to withstand the epidemic and disease. If our habits are good and the organism is not weak by unnatural action, nature will provide us with all the stimuli we need. So yes, my brothers and sisters, even though God will do his part, God will take care of us. God will keep us, you know, safe through these trials. God will provide, but yet you and I, we need to do our part. We need to be prepared for these kind of situations, my brothers and sisters. It's not getting panic. It's not being dismayed. It's about being encouraged by the word of God. It's about you doing your part, me doing my part, my brothers and sisters, to be able to deal with this pandemic. So let us be, in a way, mindful, not just about us, how to take care of ourselves, but mindful about others as well. We need to love our sisters and brothers in Christ. So yet, we need to live, my brothers and sisters. In another word, the Bible says naturally living, meaning also as well that we need to be content with all the things that this world provide. So I want to share with you four must we as Christians can do in these times. So in these times like this, we must trust in God. That's a must, my brothers and sisters. That is a must. These are the moments where our faith in God is proven. And we know that because we are all facing this crisis. But he who believes in the Lord promises perseverance and waits on God. So in other words, if we believe in God, my brothers and sisters, we need to believe also that he will bring a solution to all this. Yes, we believe that God is in control. Yes, we believe that God will bring a solution. But yet, we don't trust on him. We don't trust on his promise. So the first thing that we must do, my brothers and sisters, in these times, is that we need to place our trust in God, because he, my brothers and sister, will do the right thing for us. In this time, like this, where the Christian should approach the Lord, strengthen himself in his power, and the best thing you can do is to believe in his promise. So put your trust in God. He will act in your favor. So to place our trust in God is to be close to God. In the book of prayer, chapter 1, look at what the servant of the Lord says. We may keep so near to God that in every unexpected trial, our thoughts will turn to him as naturally as the flower turns to the sun. So to place our trust in God is to have faith in him, in other words. The Bible, my brothers and sisters, teaches us that faith is the certainty of what is expected, what's coming. And it's also the conviction of what is not seen, what we can't see, we cannot see even in the present. Faith, my brothers and sisters, lead us to live differently in our present and to look into our future with hope, not with dismay, but with hope. She also shares in Maranatha, the Lord is coming, page 67. She says, in the darkest hours, in the most frightening circumstances, the believer can affirm his soul at the source of all light and power, day after day, by God. He can renew his hope and courage. As you serve God, there is no need to experience this pandemic, hesitation, or fear. The Lord will do more than meet the highest expectations of those who place their trust in him. It will give them the wisdom they demand, their very needs. So yes, my brothers, even in these frightening circumstances, my brothers and sisters, we could still turn our trust in the Lord. Luke 21, 28 says, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Yes, my brothers and sisters, our redemption will draw near because God will bring that redemption to us. We need to be the light of the world. We know about this. We know about the circumstances that we're facing. We know these things, my brothers and sisters. So this means that Jesus wants us to have hope and trust in him. Jesus tells us that none of these terrible things has taken him by surprise. And we should not be surprised either. We must not lose faith in him when tragedy of crisis comes. Instead, we must seek help from him. We must seek help from God, who is in the highly places. So put your trust in the Lord, and he will do wonderful things that will surprise you and everyone around you. When you put your trust in God, he will do many more things than you expect or believe. It is very important to approach God with simplicity and trust, with the desire to be guided by him. This means that our hearts must have a teachable attitude and be ministered by the power of God. It is the power of God, my brothers and sisters, that actually convinces us and that also transforms us, and we need to allow him to work in our lives. So put your trust in God. The Bible also teaches us that Joseph, Jacob's son, once dreamed and was of God his dream, the Bible said, and his brother wanted to kill him. He was a slave. Then he was in prison, but he did not stop dreaming. And finally, God glorified himself in his dream, because God is almighty, my brothers and sisters. For all these things, put your trust in God. He does everything right. So continue dreaming, but dreaming God, dreaming the word of God, dreaming the promises that God brings. Yes, this whole crisis might bring uncertainty in our life because we don't know how tomorrow will look like. We don't know if I will have my job. We don't know if I'm going to be able to see my loved ones. We don't know how the world is going to look after this. But my brothers and sisters, it's not about that. It's about trusting in the Lord. Your redemption is near. So don't worry about what tomorrow will bring. Worry about that you are close and trusting in the Lord this day. Yes, we are in the latter times. We are the last times. And as church, we must strengthen our communion with God and prepare to live as the Lord wants us to face the events of the last days. We need to live in Jesus. We need to live believing in him. We need to live trusting in him that he will bring redemption in our life. In times like this, we must have sober minds. In times like these, we not only need to be trusting in the Lord, But in times like this, we must have sovereign will, my brothers and sisters. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sovereign minds." So to have sovereign minds, what does that look like? What does it mean to have sovereign minds? So my brothers and sisters, to have sovereign mind is to have a clear mind, good judgment. In the context of what Peter is talking about, he's telling people, he's telling us that in a view of what will come, we need to have a lot of judgment. About final events, he's encouraging us not to be fanatic to the point of discouraging the disbelievers. We know these things are to happen, my brothers and sisters. So we don't need to be panicking about this. We don't need to discourage others about this. Yes, we need to be alert. That's what the Bible said. We need to have sovereign minds. So these days, the minds is being bombarded on all sides. We often fall as prey into the hands of the society that give us so many erroneous messages about the purpose of life. So let's be sovereign. Let's have good judgment. There's a lot of things that are being said. And even Christians sometimes will discourage us. But my brothers and sisters, have sovereign minds. Trust in the Lord. In these last few days, the devil has unleashed a war against human mind. We have so much information, but the world remains ignorant about what really matters. This good judgment is also about having self-control of our lives. What goes into our brains affects what we do. What we actually feed our minds, my brother, will affect our actions. So therefore, we have to take care of our minds and also be determined to live. And the only way for us to be able to live differently is by putting our trust in God. And we must have sovereign minds. But in times like this, we must be watchful in our prayers as well. Peter continues saying, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." So we have to have sovereign minds so that we can watch in prayers, my brothers and sisters. We have to have good judgment so that we could be watchful in our prayers, in our thoughts. So that importance of prayer becomes evident because it goes hand to hand with having sober minds. We cannot live sober lives of good judgment and clear minds if we are not praying. The Word of God warns all of God's children that we are watching over these difficult times. Mark chapter 13, verse 33 says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." So prayer is a must, and you know that. It is not for a feeling. It is a duty that we have as children of God. That's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. So we must, my brothers and sisters, be watchful in prayers. We must be connected with the Lord because prayer strengthens us in weakness. When we have a situation that wants to dismay us, you know that prayer is the tool that we must use so that not to faint. Prayer is the way to ask God, and you know that. Asking God is our need. We depend on Him in order to live in this world. In addition, He likes to hear that we need Him, my brothers and sisters. Yes, He knows our minds. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our situation. He knows that we go through crisis. He knows that we go through trials. But yet, my brothers and sisters, our Bible encourages us. The Word of God tells us that He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear our voices. He wants to hear us, our acclamations to Him. Prayers, my brothers, makes us know God. It is the vehicle that allows us to know Him more, understand His will for our life, and see His power manifested in us. So prayer is essential, my brothers and sisters. We must trust in God. We must be sober or have sober minds, but we must be watchful in prayer. So let us not forget about prayer. See, Ellen White also encouraged us in testimonies for the church. She says, watch, brethren, the first dimming of your light, the first neglect of prayer, the first symptom of spiritual slumber. So my brothers and sisters, we need to be watchful. Watching and praying are the two necessary duties in our Christian life. Watching and praying mature us, strengthen us, and prepare us for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is why we stand firm and strengthened. So let us not be distracted by the things that want to steal our time to be with our Father God. So let's be connected. Let's be watchful in prayer, my brothers and sisters. But besides that, in times like this, we have to be the church. See, it's not only trusting in God. It's not only that we must be sober or have sober minds, but also we must be watchful in prayer. But at the same time, in times like this, we have to be the church. See, many people today understand that the church is a building. This is not the biblical principle, by the way. This is not the definition of the church. Because the word church comes from the Greek actually word ekklesia, meaning as an assembling or a convention. So the root of the meaning of the word church is not of a building, but of people. So yes, my brothers and sisters, you and I are the church, not the building. So the church is actually the body of Christ, where He is the head. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23 tells. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His people, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So the body of Christ is made up of all believers in Jesus Christ since the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 until the second coming of Jesus Christ. So my brothers and sisters, although the buildings are closed, the church still open because you and I are the church, my brothers and sisters. Hebrews chapter 10, 24, 25 said, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking that assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manners of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So my brothers and sisters, what does that look like if you and I are the church? And the church is not the building. So to be the church this time is to proclaim the gospel. We don't need to congregate in the building in order for us, my brothers and sisters, to proclaim the gospel. Matthew chapter 28, 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So my brothers and sisters, in times like this, how can we proclaim the gospel? Yes, we could still proclaim the gospel, my brothers and sisters. We praise the Lord for the different means that He gives us. We praise the Lord for the telephone, for this little gadget, my brothers and sisters. We praise the Lord for the computers. We praise the Lord for the technology. In these times, and you know what? The best missionary work is done with those who are close to us, our own family, neighbors, and friends. These are the people, my brothers and sisters, that we have greatest influence. So we could still be the church at this time and proclaim the gospel. So we could still reach out you could still reach out to your spouses. You could still reach out to your children. You could still reach out to your neighbor. You could still reach out, my brothers and sisters, even to your co-workers and friends. You could still proclaim the gospel. We could still be the church in this time. So to be the church at this time is also to love one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, the Bible, look at what the Bible tells us. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover multitude of sins. From every Christian home, it should radiate a holy light, my brothers and sisters. Love must be expressed in deeds. It must manifest itself in all relationship of the home and reveal itself in attentive kindness, in a gentle and selfless courtesy. There are homes, my brothers, where this principle is put into practice. Homes where God is worshipped and where true love reigns from these homes, morning and night. Prayer ascends, my brothers, to God like a sweet incense, and God's mercies and blessings descend upon the begging as the morning dew. And I just share this, you know, from actually our Ellen White, Patriarchs and Prophets, in page 148. That's what it says. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we could love one another. We could still serve our Lord. We could still be the church in this time. Because to be the church at this time is to pray also for leaders of this nation. Look at what the Bible actually says. The Bible actually encourages us, my brothers and sisters. Look at what the Bible actually encourages us. Let me just put it here. Look at what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Look at what it says. Therefore, I exhort first to all that supplications, prayers, intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for things and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it is very easy during these times. It is easy to criticize and complain about political leaders and the decisions they make. However, my brothers, God, through His word and inspired writings, direct us to pray and to intercede for them, even if they have made wrong choices, even if we don't agree with them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, being the church at this time is, yes, to pray for the leaders of these nations, to pray for the leaders of our church, to pray for everyone around the world, even though we might not agree with them, but that is our duty as a church. We need to pray for them. In Christian Leadership, page 19, look at what the servant of God encouraged us. Because of the wrong actions of those in positions of trust, do not let envious feelings fill your heart. They are to be judged according to the deeds done in the body. You only need to pity and pray for them. So yes, my brothers and sisters, we need to pray for the Lord. We need to pray. We need to pray to God. We need to pray for all those people that, you know, have leadership positions. Yes, they are making decisions. Yes, that those decisions will impact us. And that's the reason why, my brothers and sisters, we need to pray for them. We need to be watchful in prayers. We need to continue being the church, and being the church is also to be praying for those people. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what you're going through right now.
Amen.
All I know is that we have this crisis. All I know that the enemy is trying to destroy us. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what your trials might be. But what can we do in trials? What can we do in these times? Well, the first thing is we must trust in the Lord. We must give Him the control of our life. We must let Him, and we need to hold on to His promises. His promises are that He will be with us until the end. So we need to trust on Him. And we don't need to discourage others. So in times like this, we must also have sober minds. We need to have a good judgment, my brothers and sisters, when it comes to these things. And the only way for us to have good judgment is to seek the Word of God, to be guided by the Word of God, to share the truth, what the Word of God tells us. But also we must be watchful in our prayers. We need to be connected with our Lord and Savior. We need to pray. We need to continue praying, my brothers and sisters, so that God will bring a solution to this crisis, so that God will bring the cure to this disease, so that God, my brothers and sisters, will be with us. But also the Bible encourages us and tells us that in times like this, we must be the church. We need to continue, my brothers and sisters, being the church. We need to love one another. We need to, in a way, encourage one another. We need to reach out to the people that are close to us, to give them encouragement, to give them words of hope, to share the gospel with them in this time. These are the time, my brothers and sisters, that we need to be the church. We need to continue exhorting. We need to continue reaching out and preaching the gospels. And I will conclude with this in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. Look at what the Word of God says, my brothers and sisters. This is God's invitation for all of us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon Amen. You. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this should be. This promise should actually be what we need to hold on to in this time of crisis. These promises and the Bible promises, my brothers and sisters, is what we need to keep in mind. We need to be watchful in prayer, my brothers and sisters. We need to continue praising the Lord. We need to continue being the church. We need to continue reaching out to those people that need. Words of encouragement, words that will bring them hope. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, because you are still with us, Father. Even though we are going through this crisis, even though, Father, some of us might be dismayed. even though, Father, for some of us, there's probably no hope for tomorrow. Oh, Lord, this is the time that we need to put our trust in you. This is the time, Father, that we need to clear our minds. We need to be sober. To understand, Lord, everything that we have learned through Scripture. We know that this world is coming to an end. We know all these things are going to happen. Worse things are coming, Father. I understand in my own limited mind, Father, that this could be an awakening for us, Lord. An awakening that we need to lift our heads up and that we need to concentrate in those holy things. Oh, Father, we need to hold on to you. We need to hold on to Jesus. Lord, we want to lift up in prayers all those people, Father, that has been infected by this virus. We want to lift up in prayers, Lord, those families that are suffering, those families that lost their loved ones. Father, we also want to pray for the leaders of this nation, for the president of this nation, for the governors, for the senators. Oh, Father, we pray for all those people that are in the front line.
Amen.
All those doctors, nurses, everybody, Father, all those that are helping. Mm-hmm. Lift them up in prayer, Lord, so that you may protect them, Father.
Yes.
That you may keep them safe. Father, we also pray for those people that are in great need. We ask, Lord, that you may provide for them. If there is anyone sick as well, Father, among us, Father, we ask for healing. If it's anyone that is facing needs, Father, we ask that you will provide those needs.
Amen.
Father, let us be encouraged with one another. We know, again, Father, because the Bible said so, that all these things are going to happen and worse things are coming, but the end is not yet. Because the end will be when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Father, will return and he will give us redemption.
Amen.
So, Father, keep us faithful to you, Lord, doing what we are supposed to do as church, so that we could be watchful in our prayers, so that we could concentrate on all the things that are from heaven. Again, Father, bless each one of us. Bless our families. Bless this nation. Bless the world, Lord, and keep everyone safe. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
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 Amen.